God speaks through promptings. Say promptings. Okay? God speaks through his word. We've looked at a lot of different ways God speaks so far. Through his word, the most common through desires, through open and closed doors, through dreams, through people. And as we've looked at all these things, you can hear people identify these things, right? So people will say, I was reading my Bible and God showed me, right? You hear people say that, okay? You can hear people say, I feel like God created me to do this, right? So that's desires. They might say, God opened a door. You guys ever heard somebody say God opened a door for them? And we talk about how God gives us dreams, obviously. That's probably a pretty common one. And then even speaking through people. Hey, I was talking to my friend the other day, and it's like he said exactly what I needed to hear, right? It's like God was speaking directly through them. So we identify all of those things, but how many of you guys have just heard a generic, God told me, and you kind of thought, what in the world are you talking about, right? God told you what? Like, how do you know that God told you that? Did you hear his voice? No, I did not hear an audible voice. Well, then what do you mean that God told you? And so this is what we're looking at today. This is called promptings. And so when God tells us things and we get these promptings, what I want to tell you that you can hear the audible voice of God. You guys believe that? You can hear the audible voice of God. What I want to tell you is that it's probably not very common. Okay, I know people that have heard the audible voice of God. I would say most of the time when you hear God, and it's not through one of those other things, it's probably what I'm going to call a prompting. So we're going to look at this today. We're going to start in John chapter 16, verse 7. Jesus speaking, he says, Nevertheless, I tell you the truth. It is to your advantage that I go away, for if I do not go away, the Helper will not come to you. But if I depart, I will send him to you. And so, church, the Holy Spirit came to help us. Okay? That is literally why he came, to help you and me. Right? He didn't need to come for any other reason but to help us. And so Jesus sends him as a helper. Jesus goes to heaven for our benefit, and he sends this helper. And you know, there are times where we think about, what is Jesus doing in heaven? Like, what is the holdup? Like, he said he went to prepare a place for us. It seems like he's been preparing that place for a really long time, doesn't it? Let me tell you what I can promise you that Jesus is not doing. He is not still painting the trim in your heavenly bedroom, right? He's not literally still preparing a place for us. He's seated at the right hand of the Father in glory and power, right? And the word tells us he's interceding for us. Right, he's praying for you and me, and he sent the Spirit to be our helper. The primary way the Spirit helps us is promptings. Right, we can look at all kinds of ways the Spirit helps us. He's comforter. He leads us. He guides us. He reveals us the truth. All right, a lot of these things you're going to see are what we're going to call promptings. Charles Stanley said it like this. He said, "A prompting is like a flash of lightning in a person's spirit that creates an almost immediate knowing of which way to turn, what to do, what to say, how to respond. The prompting comes with a deep assurance and confidence that the choice or decision is right." So we have these promptings. To prompt means to move to action, okay? To inspire, and the Holy Spirit will produce these thoughts or sometimes feelings in our lives, and sometimes it's kind of like a quickening. Sometimes it's this urge to do something, and you just can't shake it. No matter how much you try to ignore it or try to forget it, it just won't go away. And I want to tell you that for most believers, this is probably the most common way that you're going to hear God's voice is through promptings, aside from the scriptures, okay? Scriptures will be the most, but you know what? Some of you don't read the scriptures. You need to start doing that. You'll hear God's voice for sure there. But the Holy Spirit will prompt us over and over and over and over to do things throughout our lives. And so I want you to know that promptings are not supposed to be an occasional thing. This is not supposed to be like, yes, I remember that one time when I was in eighth grade and I was going to, I was going to steal a candy bar from Daryl's, and then I felt like, no, I should not do that, right? That was the one prompting. No, promptings should be a regular thing in our life. They should be frequently produced in our life. And I want to tell you that Jesus wants us to live in this place where the Holy Spirit prompting is an expectation, not an exception, okay? It needs to be an expectation for our lives. Continuing in John 16, Jesus tells us, he says, I still have many things to say to you, but you cannot bear them now. However, right? So however, this is, again, I'm fast forwarding. When he, the Spirit of truth, has come, he will guide you into all truth, and he will speak not on his own authority, but whatever he hears, he will speak, and he will tell you things to come. He will glorify me, for he will take of what is mine and declare it to you. See, Jesus tells us right here, he says, the Holy Spirit will guide you. We all got that. We're like, yeah, that's cool. I'm in on that. But he also says he will speak, right? He will speak. How many of you guys have heard the audible voice of the Lord, if you're so bold to raise your hand? Probably not a lot, but the Holy Spirit speaks. Jesus said it's one of the things he would do. It says he will tell you things to come. It says that he will declare who Jesus is to you. This is the way, right? It says that he'll declare all truth, and we kind of look at that as like, well, I'll read the Bible and I'll just know what is true. But no, it says he will lead us to truth, and then Jesus tells us how he'll do it. He'll speak what he hears, right? He'll tell us what he hears from heaven, and it says that he'll tell us things to come, right? So it could be prophecy. It could be just leading and guiding us where to go. It says he'll declare Jesus to us. So it's clear in the scripture that the Holy Spirit speaks. Amen? Now, if you are a born-again believer, a follower of Jesus Christ, then where is the Holy Spirit? In us, right? Say, in me. Okay? In me. That's where the Holy Spirit is. So, if you think about this, let's think we can be spiritual and logical at the same time, okay? If the Holy Spirit is in you and he speaks to you, where is that voice coming from? In me, okay? So you got to think about this for just a moment. When the Holy Spirit is speaking to us, there's a voice that comes from within, but it's not your own. Now, this is where the trick comes in. We need to understand this. We need to understand that when the Holy Spirit speaks to us, to you and me, if we're born-again believers, it takes discernment to be able to understand, is that me or is that the Holy Spirit, right? It takes some education and some practice. It takes some time to develop this. And I want to tell you that when you can discern this inner voice, he will speak to you through promptings. A move to action, an inspiration, a quickening. And we are a scripture-first church, amen? Okay, we only teach and we only believe what is in the scripture, nothing. There is no authority that is greater or higher. So I want to show you these things in the Word of God. We're going to look at a man named Simeon in Luke chapter 2. It says, and behold, there was a man in Jerusalem whose name was Simeon. And this man was just and devout, waiting for the consolation of Israel, and the Holy Spirit was upon him. Okay? And it had been revealed to him by the Holy Spirit that he would not see death before he had seen the Lord's Christ. So he came by the Spirit into the temple, and when the parents brought in the child Jesus to do for him according to the custom of the law, he took him up in his arms and blessed God and said, and I don't have what he said, okay, because it's not where I'm going today, but you can read that if you really want to know what he said. I'll leave that teaser there for you, or you can go and read it. Not right now, just make a note, all right? But the Holy Spirit tells Simeon something. Now, a little bit of a difference here is Simeon did not have the Spirit inside of him yet because Jesus had not ascended, but said the Spirit was upon him, okay? So the Spirit can speak from outside, but that's too pre-Christ ascension, and then for now, that would be to unbelievers. That would be to people who are not born again, okay? So Simeon has this voice that speaks to him. It says, Simeon, you won't die until you see the Christ, until you see the Messiah, the anointed one, right? You won't die until then. Now, I want to point out to you that there's some time that passes between verse 26 and 27. See, there's times where we read the scripture and we think, man, I wish my life moved like that, right? You're not going to die until you see Jesus, and bam, there's Jesus. Next verse. No, there's time that passes through here. We don't know how many years, how many days. We have no idea how much time passes in this one verse, but there's time between the promise and between the fulfillment, and some of you need to grab a hold of that this morning. There is time that passes between a promise from God and the fulfillment of a promise. Don't let go of the promises of God, amen? We cannot let go. There's time that has to pass before fulfillment. But God may reveal something to you, and he may prompt you to move, but he may not prompt you to move for some time on what he has given you. So some examples of this is I've had times where I felt like God has given me a word for somebody. He's told me something about somebody's future or something that I should say to them, but he did not tell me that I could tell the person. Okay, now, again, if you don't know what I'm talking about, just bear with me through this promptings message, and hopefully by the end you'll see it. But it's like, you just know. It's like, man, I'm supposed to give this word to Lacey, but I don't feel like I'm supposed to do it today. And listen, I've got words that I feel like God's given me for people that I've been holding on to for years. I mean, I'm talking like 5-6 years. Some of those people aren't even in this church anymore. But I still know that word, and I'm waiting for when God gives me the okay to release that. So there can be time that has to go by here. But Simeon, we see this man, he receives this promise, and you guys got to know that Simeon was a relatively normal person from all that we know. It says he was just and devout, right? So he was a student of the word of God. He knew the Lord as they could know him in that day. Simeon likely was a man with a family. Simeon was likely a man who probably still worked for the family trade, whatever that was. So here we see Simeon. He gets this promise, and at some point, he's got to go on about his business, right? Because when you get a promise from God, you don't just drop everything and just sit on the altar and wait, right? Because it may be some time. So Simeon probably goes on with his life at some point, just holding on to this promise, just waiting. And so what you got to remember is this promise, all this promise was that you won't die until you see the Messiah. I don't know if that's a good or a bad promise. Like for me, if it's like, well, you're not going to die until you see a blue Dodge Caravan. Like I'm not going outside. Now, I don't know about Simeon, but I'd be like, I'm going to be hard pressed to go to the temple because I can worship you from home. All right. Because I don't know if I want to see this Messiah, if it means that that's the end of my life. But he has this promise, and all it is that he won't die. God doesn't promise him that, you know what, Simeon, it'll be really easy to wait these number of years. Your life will be a piece of cake. Everything's going to be great because you're going to have that promise. You're never going to struggle. No, he doesn't tell him anything like that. He just says, you won't die until you see the Messiah. And so I picture Simeon going on with his life. You know, his activities would have been a little different than they are now. He's maybe teaching his grandson how to, you know, do a sling like David. And maybe they're trying to hit some targets out in the yard. And you know, maybe he's teaching him the Ten Commandments, and he's being obedient to the scriptures. He was a devout man. So he's probably teaching his kid as he lies down and he rises. And as they're walking around, he's teaching him the things of God, how important it is to be obedient to God. And then all of a sudden, he gets a prompt. How do we know that he got a prompt? Because it tells us that he came by the Spirit to the temple. So he got this prompt from the Spirit that said, Simeon, you need to go to the temple. And I want to tell you that may have been all that he got. He probably didn't say, the Holy Spirit probably didn't say, it's time to die, go to the temple. He just said, it's time to go to the temple. Like, you need to stop playing around over there and head to the temple. Just go. And so we see Simeon goes to the temple, probably not knowing exactly why he's there, but he was prompted to go. And you got to think about the fact that he was prompted to go somewhere that he already regularly goes. And maybe you guys have ever been prompted to do something that you already somewhat regularly do. Maybe you weren't going to do it that day. You guys have heard me tell this story, some of you that have been around, but there was a day I wasn't going to come to the office, a day that I normally do, and I felt like I was prompted. It was like, you need to go to the office today. And I'm like, but I don't want to go to the office today. Like, I don't want to do that stuff. I want to do something else. And I came and I sat in my office, and somebody walked in, somebody I hadn't seen for a decade, walked in, and they were going through a hard time, and they gave their life to Christ. Okay, what if I hadn't come that day? What if I had just stayed home that day, and they didn't even realize I was the pastor here? So it's not like they would have just come to the house. So I'm just showing you that sometimes we just got to do something. It may even be something we already regularly do. He may move us to do it, but the Holy Spirit leads him here. And you got to understand that at the temple in those days, there may be hundreds of families worshiping there. The temple was not, it was much larger than this, okay? Outer court and inner court, and you had all this big setup, and there may have been hundreds of people there. And who knows how long he's even there? See, these are things we got to think about when we read these stories in the Bible. We don't even know how long he was there, but we do know that he was there first. And then, all of a sudden, here comes Mary and Joseph with this baby, this child in tow. And they have this child, and another prompting happens. How do we know another prompting happens? Because he didn't necessarily know Mary and Joseph. He didn't know who he was looking for. He may not have even known, again, why he was there. But another prompting takes place because he sees them, he identifies them, and he's drawn to Jesus like a magnet. Right? It says that he goes over to them, and he picks up, how many of you parents would be like, stranger comes over to me and tries to pick up my baby, my child, we're going to have it out, right? You got, some of you have been through that at Walmart. It's just like everybody likes the babies and the little kids if they're not crying, right? And they're like, oh, I want to pinch his cheeks. Mary and Joseph could have been like, dude, back off. Who are you? But it says that he goes over and he picks up Jesus and he blesses God. How did Simeon know that these promptings were God? How did he know that he's to go to the temple? How did he know that he's to be looking for somebody? How did he know that Jesus was the one? Promptings of the Holy Spirit spoke to his heart, but how did he know that it was actually God? We know this because Simeon was a just and devout man. He was a man who had a relationship with God. He's a man who probably knew the scriptures. He's a man who spent time in the temple worshiping and praying, and probably over a long period of time, over seasons, he learned to discern the voice of God. Simeon was an older man. He discerned the voice of God because he had relationship with God the best that they could in that time, and he recognized his voice and he obeyed. So sometimes we're prompted to go and do something that's attached to a promise. But here's the thing, the promise requires obedience on our part. A promise always requires obedience on our part to obtain it. Sometimes we get a promise, and it seems like we don't ever obtain it. And I think there's a lot of times where God's like, well, if you would now do your part, if you would take your step, if you would be obedient, you'll receive, okay? Second thing I want to look at is in Jude chapter 1. There's only one chapter, but Jude 1:3 says this, beloved, while I was very diligent to write to you concerning our common salvation, I found it necessary to write to you exhorting you to contend earnestly for the faith which was once for all delivered to the saints. Jude here, instead of being prompted to just go and do something, he was actually prompted to change directions. Okay, so Jude here, he gets this prompting from the Holy Spirit. He wasn't told through the scripture. He wasn't told through an open door, through a dream, through a person. And I want to show you that he wasn't even writing this based on desire, because his desire, it seems, was to write about common salvation, right? This is what he was going to do. He was diligent to write about common salvation. This is the road he was going to take. This is the path he was going to take. And then he found it necessary. And when you study that out, it means he felt it necessary. He didn't find it, right? It wasn't like somebody slipped a piece of paper under the door. He felt it necessary. So something within him felt it necessary. He was compelled, he was prompted to change directions, and instead of writing about common salvation, he wrote to them about contending for the faith. The Holy Spirit compels Jude to exhort them, right? To tell the people about these false teachings, these false doctrines, and about how you guys have got to contend for the faith. And when you exhort somebody, it means to come alongside. So the Holy Spirit compelled Jude to come alongside them, to inspire them, to stoke the fire, the passion for truth. And so he comes alongside and encourages them to contend, right? He encourages them to fight. He encourages them to struggle for the truth. Now, what would have happened if these people get another letter about common salvation? For some of you that have been saved for years and years and years, it's like you don't need to hear a salvation message, just an entire message about common salvation every time you come to church, right? Sometimes you need to hear about, I need to contend for my faith. I need to continue to fight and believe and battle for what I know is true. And so the Holy Spirit gives Jude this nudge, this prompting to change directions. And sometimes what we feel like doing, even though it's a good thing, is not what God wants us to do. So he felt his desire was to write one thing. The Holy Spirit showed him, no, you need to go this way. Just change direction. What you're doing is not a bad thing, but I've got a better plan. I've got a better path, a better road. You just need a little adjustment because this is what they need, okay? So we can be prompted to redirect a lot of things in our lives. The Holy Spirit can prompt us to redirect our time. Maybe you guys have been doing something and you're like, man, I really feel like I need to drop that and I need to go do this, right? The Holy Spirit can do that. He can prompt it in your heart to say, you know what? My time would be better spent right now if I went and did this instead. He can redirect our efforts, the things we're working on, the things we're pouring ourselves into, and say, you know what, you're pouring too much of your gifts, your talents into one thing that maybe is not quite as necessary or doesn't have the eternal value. He can redirect our finances. He can show us, and this isn't just about tithing, right? That's an important thing. I'll tell you that there's no way that we're told in the scripture to test God other than our giving, okay? And you don't test him so that he will bless you, but if you are faithful, then he will bless you. But I want to tell you that in our finances, sometimes he may be redirecting our finances just that, dude, you're eating too many cheeseburgers and you need to buy some more fruit, right? I mean, I don't know. Obviously, I'm a cheeseburger kind of guy. I'm just saying God can prompt you to just redirect your finances. You're spending too much on entertainment and you're not spending enough on your child's education or whatever the cost may be. He could show you a better plan, a more effective plan for your life. This can be promptings of the Spirit. And then I want to look at Paul. Okay, Paul in Acts chapter 20, it says, "And now I am on my way to Jerusalem, compelled by the Spirit, not knowing what I will encounter there." Paul is such a great example of someone who was really led by the Spirit. I want to show you that Paul actually is a great example of somebody who was religious, who was not led by the Spirit, and was doing things in the name of religion that were awful, right? And then once he got saved and filled with the Holy Spirit, he became the perfect example of being someone who walked in the Spirit and knowing his identity in Christ. And so this is some time after the Holy Spirit prevented him from going through Asia and a couple other places and led him to Macedonia. We kind of looked at that back in the dreams and visions sermon, that he had a vision to go to Macedonia. So this is after that. It says that Paul was compelled to go to Jerusalem. He was compelled. That was a prompting of the Spirit, said, Paul, go to Jerusalem. He didn't have a vision. Nobody told him to do it. It was the Spirit prompted him. And in the New King James, I actually like what it really says. It says he was bound by the Spirit. Now, don't let that fool you. Don't let it make you think that the Spirit bound him. It means that he chose to bind himself to the Spirit. And what he's saying there is, I made this decision that where the Spirit tells me to go is where I will go. I'm bound by the Spirit. Like, I've committed to that. It's like, you know, you handcuff yourself to somebody. You're like, you're not getting away from me, right? We're handcuffed together. Where you go, I'm going. And so Paul binds himself to the Spirit, and he basically just simply is saying, where you go, I'm going with you. And so he's compelled to go. But I love what he says is that I do not know, right? I don't know what I'm going to encounter there. I'm blindly following the Holy Spirit. Church, that's faith. Right, that is faith when you say, I have no idea what is in store for me over there. But if God told me to do it, then I'm going to do it. I'm going to blindly follow him. I'm going to trust in him. Right, this is trust that God has what's best for him. Now I want to go on and show you the next verse, which I hadn't shown you before. It said, accept that. So I don't know what I'll encounter there. Accept that the Holy Spirit testifies in every city, saying that chains and tribulations await me. Paul says, I don't know what's going on in Jerusalem. I don't know what I'm going to encounter there. But what I do know is everywhere I go, the Holy Spirit's telling me, like, dude, just you're headed toward chains and tribulation, right? You're going to be in prison. You're going to have rough times. You're going to have troubles. He didn't tell me it's in Jerusalem. I don't know if I'm going to encounter it there. But I just know that I've bound myself to the Spirit no matter what. Everywhere he goes, the Spirit reminds him of what's coming. And yet, he goes to this place unknowing, no idea, clueless as to what he's facing. And so, we got to come to this place. Are we willing to blindly follow the promptings of the Holy Spirit? Are we willing to blindly say, you know what, Holy Spirit, wherever you tell me to go, whatever you tell me to do, however you tell me to do it, I will go no matter what awaits me. See, because that's really our problem a lot of times, is it's like, okay, I will consider doing that if you tell me what's waiting for me there, right? If I know what the result is of doing that, then yeah, I'll do that. But see, he doesn't tell us what the result is going to be. He doesn't often tell us what we're going to do, because if he did, a lot of us would bail out, right? I mean, I don't know about you, but I can think of a lot of things in my life that if I would have known in advance, this is why God is having me do this, I'd be like, no, I don't really want to go down that road, right? I think I've got a better plan, actually, something that sounds more fun, right, or sounds more like what I want to do. But are we willing to bind ourselves to the Spirit the way that Paul did, where we say, no matter what you say, no matter where we go, no matter what awaits me there, I'll go where you tell me to go? Can we trust Jesus that much? When the Holy Spirit prompts you, listen, this is really what I believe that he's telling us. When he prompts you, he's telling you, I love you enough to tell you where to go. I love you enough to tell you what to do. I love you enough that I will lead you to the correct place, the correct time, for the correct reasons, without giving you all the information. I will lead you in every situation if you allow me. Psalm 32:8, I will instruct you and teach you in the way you should go. I will guide you with what? With my eye. See, he will guide you with his eye. That means that when he prompts you to do something, you might not know what awaits you there, but he does. And so he says, if you just trust to follow me, right, I'm going before you. I can see. I know what awaits you there. I'm with you, and there's nothing to fear, nothing to worry about. There's no reason to be stressed out. Are you willing to follow the prompting of the Holy Spirit even when you can't see, right? Just trusting that he can, and that is enough for you, enough for me. So when God speaks, we need to recognize one thing that, you know, sometimes, have you ever been in conversations with people and you're just talking like, none of this matters. None of this even makes sense. As a matter of fact, I'm not even really sure that I like you that much, but we're in this awkward situation where we feel like we have to do this small talk and we're both really bad at it. but it's like we, like, silence is more awkward. Silence is even more weird. So let's just continue to say really stupid things to each other, and both of us feel like idiots when we walk away. I want to tell you that God, when he speaks, God never just speaks because he can. Even in relationship with us, right? He doesn't just speak because he's able. God is not an idle talker. God is not a, just let's talk about the weather because I don't know what else to talk about. I want to tell you that every word that flows from the mouth of God through the Spirit of God has a targeted location in your life. Every word that he speaks to you is going to bear fruit. Every word that he speaks to you has a reason and a purpose behind it. And when we act upon these things, we bring to pass the very desires of God. You guys know the scripture that my word doesn't return to me void. Right? A lot of times we kind of will relegate that to just the scripture. Well, God's scripture, when it goes out, right, if I speak the scripture, it'll do what it'll do. No, all the ways that God speaks to you, every one of them, they will not return void. Even if he speaks to you in promptings, even if he speaks to you through dreams and visions, it says that his word will be effective one way or another because he has every word targeted in a specific location in your life. And so when we listen and we obey to the promptings of the Holy Spirit, God's word goes to work on our behalf, and his purpose and desire is brought into existence. Now listen, it doesn't come without opposition, but it does come without fail. You guys need to catch that this morning. God's word does not come without opposition, but it does come without fail. He will never fail us. It'll never be wrong. It'll never be out of time. So a couple of things discerning these promptings. How do we know? How do we discern that this is God? I kind of laid it out in the Simeon story, if you were paying attention there, but how do we know if it's really God? I'm gonna give you a little bit of an example. I gotta go to the bathroom. I'll be right back. Just kidding. How do you guys know right now? You can't see me. I'm not standing right in front of you. How do you know that this is my voice? Does anybody recognize this voice? Does anybody know who is speaking right now through the mysterious speaker? Right? You guys know my voice for a reason, right? Because you know me. See, some of you, even if you've only been here a time or two, maybe you're still learning who I am. Maybe if we went to the restaurant after church and I'm sitting a booth over and you hear my voice, you might be like, I think that's Tim. Like, it sounds like maybe it is, but I'm not quite sure yet. Now, if you didn't know me at all, you've never been here, you never tuned in online, and you hear me talking at the restaurant, guess what you're going to do? Ignore it. It doesn't matter to you. You could care less whose voice it is. You could care less who's speaking. If you know me a little bit, you're like, yeah, I'm pretty sure that's Tim. You know, and you may tell your spouse, like, I'm going to look when we get up and we go by to pay. I'm going to look. I'm going to see if that was him or not. What's happening? You're learning my voice. How are you learning my voice? By being around me, by hearing me, by tuning in, right? By coming in here and sitting, by having conversation, right? Because this, for some reason, I don't know why preachers have a preacher voice, and it's not necessarily a speaking voice. I don't quite yell this much whenever I speak. It's kind of like you have that phone voice, right? You guys ever have somebody that you get on the phone and you don't even know who it is, right? And you're like, why is your phone voice so different than your regular voice? Like, why are you doing that, right? So you might even hear me preach, but to really know my voice, you're going to have some conversation with me to see, how does he talk when he's talking softly? How does he talk when he's really excited, when he's really upset, when different things are going on? How does that stuff happen? It's all through relationship. It's all through spending time, and it's a learning process. This is the same way it is in discerning God's voice. It's the same way that it is for discerning the promptings of the Holy Spirit. Let's think about this for just a minute. You might make a mistake and think that it's God's voice and it not be God's voice. You might do that. Can I tell you that that's okay? That is okay. The closer you get to Christ, the more you know God, the more you'll be able to discern that voice. But sometimes we make mistakes. It's just a learning process. And we can ask the Holy Spirit to teach us, right? He's our helper. If you want to hear God's voice more clearly, you can pray and say, Holy Spirit, would you help me to understand your voice? Would you help me to be able to discern if that's you or if it's not? We might have to take some risk in following some promptings for a while. Listen, I still take risks in following some promptings. You guys, again, last week we looked at God speaking through people. You know, every time that you stand up and you're going to give a word to an individual or a group on behalf of God, you guys realize you're taking a risk. You guys realize that what it comes back to is you're coming back to a prompting. I believe the Holy Spirit has led me to say this, and I'm taking a risk, but I believe that with my relationship with God that I'm pretty sure this is God's voice. And then guess what it is? It's for the other people to discern. Was that God's voice or was it not? How do we do that? We compare it to the scriptures first and foremost. But you may have no idea how your obedience to a prompting can affect the lives of those around you. You have no idea. Last week I shared the story about the time when I was having a rough Thursday and Jake called me. How did he call me? Right? It was a prompting. It was like, I feel like I should call Tim. I just feel like I should. Is it something that he does sometimes already? Yeah. But he didn't have to that day, but I needed it that day. Right? So are the promptings that we deal with can affect the world? What we've got to remember is we think a lot of times in days and moments, but God thinks in generations and eternity. And so the prompting that he gives you might seem little, insignificant, not a very big deal, but when we're obedient to it and we carry it out, we have no idea the kind of ripple effects that it could have through people's lives, through generations, through all of eternity. So when God prompts you to do something, I want you to do it. Listen, if he prompts you to pray, I want you to pray. How many of you guys have ever been in that awkward situation where you really felt like you should pray for someone or pray about something and you're like, well, I'll do it later? No, do it now. I'm serious, do it now. I really, really try to, and I still sometimes fail at this. If you come up to me after the service and you're like, hey, I'm going through this, will you pray for me? I need to pray for you right now. If you're asking now, I need to pray for you now. Because I'll make a note and I'll try to remember, but sometimes I forget. And so we need to, when God prompts us to pray especially, we need to pray now. If God prompts us to serve in a way, to do something for someone else, guys, we need to do it. They might need that way more than what we'll ever know. If God prompts us to give, then we need to give. If God prompts us to worship, then we need to worship. Listen, I'm going to tell you, there's no discipline in your life that will set you free more than learning how to worship God. I mean, turn on some music. You can worship without music, by the way. I'm just telling you, if you need some help, like turn on some music, get in a quiet place and just worship God. Listen, I'm going to tell you that even in worship, that God will give you promptings. You guys realize that? He may tell you, close your eyes. No, I didn't audibly hear close my eyes. I just feel like I should. Lift my hands. Dance around. Clap, right? A lot of times when people are in genuine worship and all those things that they're doing, they're not consciously thinking about, oh, now I will start to clap. Oh, now I will start to sway side to side. You ever been in a worship service where everybody is going left or right at the same time? It's weird. My eyes are always closed and I'm always in the front. But I've seen that before. I'm like, this is strange. Promptings. I don't know how it's like. We're not like one of those, you know, that like at the Chinese restaurant, they got that cat that does this. It's one of my favorite things. They have it at Fujiyama too. They have it at the Japanese restaurant. They got that cat. The fist pump cat is what I call it. I don't know what it's really supposed to be doing. It may be something not cool because it's Buddhist or something, but I'm not sure. But it does this, and I was like, I saw that stopped one time. I wasn't very happy about it. It's one of the things I like about going there. And I was like, why was that thing stopped? Like, who turned it off? And then my kids had to tell me, like, it's not something you turn off. It's one of those things that gets weighted to where, like, you just tap it and it, like, starts to go and then it keeps going, right? I think that's how it is in worship sometimes. The Holy Spirit just, like, gives us a little tap and then we all just start going side to side, side. You can stop if you want. He'll just give you another little dink and you just, the next thing you know, you're in unison again. So check out the cat next time you go to an Asian restaurant. I'm not sure if I was supposed to share that. It wasn't in my notes, but I think the Holy Spirit may have prompted me to share that because I got to say something stupid every week. But okay, so another prompting, and this is one that we probably most people are not as excited about, but I want to just show you that this is a prompting of the Holy Spirit, is conviction. Right? Conviction is a prompting of the Holy Spirit. That's that check in your spirit, that quickening where you're like, that's not right. Right? I should not do that. I should not have done that. I should not continue to do that. And again, conviction is the Holy Spirit trying to sanctify your life, right? Trying to conform you to the image of Christ. It's that process of working things out of your life. That's a prompting of the Holy Spirit. Okay? We can have promptings to praise, to give thanks. We have promptings, like I said, to prophesy, to encourage people, to comfort people. And so, like I say very often, God blesses obedience. Okay, whatever it is that He is prompting you to do, I just want you to make a commitment, not to me, to the Lord, that, Lord, I will bind myself to your Spirit, and where you go, I will go. Where you tell me to move, I will move. Where you tell me to speak, I will speak. Because to obey is better than sacrifice. You guys realize that? That's the word of the Lord. To obey is better than sacrifice. A lot of us would rather just sacrifice and not obey, right? I'll give you whatever you want and then let me do whatever I want. No, to obey is better than sacrifice. If you guys would stand to your feet. And I did say that most all promptings are from within. If you're born again, your promptings come from within. But, you know, the very first prompting that a person receives in their life, the very first prompting from the Holy Spirit comes from outside, and it's the prompting to accept Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior. You guys realize that? That's a prompting of the Holy Spirit upon a person's life. That's the Holy Spirit revealing to somebody that they need Jesus. This prompting that, hey, something isn't right in my life. A lot of times it's where it starts. This recognition that sin isn't good. Sin isn't right, and that I need to accept Jesus as my Savior, but then I need to accept Him as my Lord and follow Him with my life. And see, it's at that moment that we're indwelt with the Spirit and those promptings begin to come from within. And so this morning, as we open up the altar, I just want to give opportunity for people to get right with the Lord. If you need to receive Him for the first time, if you're joining us online, you can private message me or our page, and we'd love to contact you and get in touch with you there. But if you need to get right with the Lord, I just want you to take this opportunity right here. You know, we believe in coming to the altar. I believe there's an obedience factor of stepping out. It's not about stepping out in front of other people. It's about you stepping out of comfort, right? When we're coming to the Lord, part of what we're doing is we're stepping out of comfort and we're saying, Lord, I'm taking the steps toward you. And if you don't want to do that, we got plenty of room. You can certainly kneel or do whatever right where you're at, right where you want. But I want to show you one last thing here is that, you know, when we give our lives to Christ, a lot of our problem is that we don't want to give up things. But I want to tell you that a life with Christ is much less about the things we give up, and it's much more about the someone that we gain. It's much more about a life with the one who created you. It's much more about reconciliation, about bringing you back to the place where you're supposed to be. And it's something that this world cannot satisfy. Amen. So, Father, we just thank you and praise you this morning for your goodness, for your faithfulness. God, we thank you that, Holy Spirit, that you came to help us, that you came to prompt us, you came to speak to us, to show us things that we don't know, to redirect us, to bring us to a place of being bound to you, because you're the one that knows where we need to go. It's your eye sees it even when we do not. And so right now we take this moment to surrender to you. We say, Holy Spirit, have your way in our hearts, in our lives. As we become a child of God, as we become Christ followers, Holy Spirit, you're our guide. You're the one that leads us to all truth. You're the one that shows us even who he is and continues to reveal Christ to us. And so as we surrender to you, we ask you to have your way with us this morning. Lead us to all truth. We pray for promptings this week that we would begin to understand them, that we could recognize them. Holy Spirit, will you help us to hear your voice? Help us to discern what is you and what is not. Lord, help us that as we step out in faith and we do acts of obedience to your promptings, that you'll help us to be those who learn your voice, that we know that it's clear, that there's no doubt in our mind. But until that moment, and even in moments of doubt or question or worry, we'll have faith and we'll trust you with it all. We thank you and praise you in Jesus' name. Amen.